The last U.S. veteran of World War I died back in 2011. Yet a century after the Great War, the actions of Frank Buckles and his counterpart still inform American culture and policy. This past weekend marked progress in a long-awaited new memorial near the Mall in Washington. Joining me with an update, World War I Centennial Commission Public Affairs Director Chris Islieb, joining me in studio. Chris, good to have you in.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So this memorial near the Mall is not finished yet, but you had a lot of commemorative activity over the past weekend, and there's a lot more planned. Give us a rundown of where things stand.
This past weekend was the centennial of the end of World War I, the armistice that stopped the fighting in World War I. This war was massive. 4.7 million Americans, a huge percentage of the male population of America, along with hundreds of thousands of women, stepped forward and suited up during that war. 2 million of them deployed to the fight, mostly in Europe. And then of them, 116,516 lost their lives through the course of the war. And this is more than the Vietnam War and the Korean War combined. So Congress created our commission in 2013, and then they authorized us in 2014 to build a national memorial to the veterans, the men and women that suited up to help with the war effort 100 years ago. To that end, they also gave us a site at Pershing Park downtown, which is next door to the White House. It's right in front of the Willard Hotel. And it's a 2-acre park that is already, branded for World War I with a statue of General Pershing that was installed in 1975. But the rest of the park, sadly, has gone into a kind of a dismal state. And so we're in the process of working with the oversight agencies to get funding to renovate the park, but then also to bring in a national memorial for these veterans to be on par with the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on the Mall, the Korean War Veterans Memorial, and the World War II Memorial.
It's kind of a shame because the World War II Memorial was completed in time for tens, hundreds of thousands of World War II veterans, many of whom are still alive, to be able to see it and visit it. And with the honor flights and so forth, World War I probably should have been done first. I guess if it had been done properly in 75 or earlier when the statue of Pershing came in, maybe the remaining veterans might have been able to feel that honor also.
Yeah, the idea of national memorial to veterans of a war in the nation's capital, it's a new one. I mean, the first one was, as you say, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And that was like in 1989. And that needed to happen. I mean, we needed to thank those people. But also, a memorial is like a posthumous medal that you give to somebody for something, even if they're gone. So we remember their legacy and we remember the lesson of what they did and we remember it. So in a lot of ways, all these memorials, and specifically our memorial too, they're a gift to future generations. They're a gift to our present generation as well, so we can draw inspiration and we can learn. But it's also, hoping that the future generations can draw from these stories and these veterans can be remembered. Because really, no war should be forgotten and no veterans should be forgotten either.
Sure. And give us the outlines of what this eventual memorial would be like when it's finally completed.
It's a really amazing work of art and a work of teamwork. We're working closely with the National Park Service, with the National Capital Planning Commission, and also with the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, and have been for the last 3.5-4 years to really develop the right size and the right scope and the right look for a memorial. We had a competition in 2014 to isolate and identify a best design team to work with. And the winner ended up being a guy named Joe Weishar, who at the time was 25 years old. I mean, he's a young guy, millennial. And he partnered up with a classicist sculptor named Sabin Howard. And Sabin's probably the great sculptor of our age. He's the great classicist figurative sculptor of our day. And the two of them created a not invasive design for the park. The park originally was designed by Paul Friedberg during the 70s. And there's elements of his original designs from that period that will remain. But then we'll also add to it this veteran sculpture, which is a wall of about 56 feet long.
Sort of a frieze almost.
Indeed, high relief indeed. And it'll have, I think, 35 or 37 figures on it. Depicting a journey, kind of a mythic journey of a soldier as they deploy, as they take part in battle, as they come away from the experience of changed person, and as they return.
We're speaking with Chris Islieb. He's Public Affairs Director for the World War I Centennial Commission. And Congress, I guess, has been nominally behind this, but they won't pay for it. And so where are you in respect to the fundraising that needs to be done to get this whole thing finally buttoned up.
The Congress has given us appropriation for our education programs and for our public outreach and for a number of different partnerships that we have. The memorial itself is being built by a private donation, by grassroots, by high-profile individuals, by organizations that you know, that want to ensure that these veterans are remembered. You can get information on our website on the different donors and also how you can support yourself at our website at www.1cc.org.
And we'll have that posted at our website, so you don't have to write it down here.
Yeah, thank you. The process so far has been a good one. I started with the organization in 2013 when we originally started. And before, you know, World War I was a forgotten war, sadly. But since, you know, media outreach from folks like you, you know, journalists who have a history sense, have been helping us to tell this story. And as a result, you know, we've gone from a trickle to a flood. And we're currently at about $20 million of donation for a site that'll probably cost about $37.
Yeah, I guess maybe that 100th anniversary has a certain magic. There's something about a century that seems to inspire people.
Indeed, indeed. It's changed the, it's moved the needle. I mean, 5-10 years from now, maybe the visibility for the war will start to, you know, plateau and maybe taper off. But we're at a point now where we have a chance to leave this legacy and leave this marker for future generations so these veterans are remembered and what they did can be drawn from.
And World War One, like the Civil War, is one of those wars where you can find in every burg and hamlet and so many crossroads throughout the United States markers and memorials. Have you gone back to any of those places to see if there are people around that might want to help out enlarging the memory that they have locally?
Indeed. And that's a big part of our education program. And then we also had a preservation program that we've continued. It's called 100 Cities, 100 Memorials. And that's a local preservation challenge grant. So organizations, Boy Scout troops, high school teams, so on, concerned individuals, we get together and put together a brief package. You know, we had a really easy application process and apply for one of our grants and get official status. And then we would help them to raise money and also talk about what they were doing and help look up the memorials that are in their community so they could understand who was on that, what their names are, what they did.
And in the meantime, there is a site that is visitable by the public. And what do you recommend people head there?
Yeah, we this past weekend, we've had a number of different events introducing people to the National Memorial. We had events all over the D.C. region this past weekend to include Kennedy Center concerts that actually continue. If you go to the Kennedy Center website, there's a number of different shows that happen today, that happen later this week, that even happen on up through Thanksgiving. We've also got exhibits at the African American History Museum, the American History Museum, the Air and Space Museum. Library of Congress has a World War I exhibit all over town, and we're thrilled to do so. On the site at Pershing Park, we have an all-weather tent that today still will have events that a concert by an organization we put together, the 369th Experience, to tribute the African American Segregated Infantry Regiment's legendary jazz band. But we'll also have imagery and information on the memorial we're creating on the site at Pershing Park, along with you know, mock-ups so people can see and get an idea.
Chris Isleeb is Public Affairs Director for the World War I Centennial Commission. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for hosting.
Find links to more information and to this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One.